This second week of Trinity is sometimes called the week of invitation, and we hear that reflected in our reading for today, taken from the Old Testament book of the prophet Isaiah, the 55th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. These are your words, Heavenly Father, they are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Send before midnight tomorrow. Quantities are limited. You must act now. These deals won't last long, so hurry into your Toyota dealership. We've just heard about all the different advertising phrases we could take in our life. Sometimes it just about makes you gag. All of the different requests to hurry up and come in and buy things. And even if you turn on the Spanish channel, you hear, Clamdino, blah, blah, blah. It's the same thing, just in a different language. It's amazing how much advertising we really take in on a typical day, not only on television, but radio and print and everything else. If you look at the text that's in front of us here today, it does almost sound a little bit like an advertisement. Come, buy and eat. And come and buy wine and milk and so on. Sounds like God is advertising something to us. Now, someone who is trying to get you to buy something wants you to recognize that you're lacking something. There's something missing that's going to make your life better if you get this product. And in a sense, that's true in a much grander scale with what God is also selling us, if you will. He is pointing out that there is something in our fallen lives that is so lacking. There's something missing in our lives. Notice he describes us as being hungry, as being thirsty, as having no money. Now, sometimes we may feel like, well, my life's going fine. This isn't necessarily talking about me. But then again, there are times when people can be so sick that they don't realize that they need to eat. They don't even have an appetite. Sometimes that's a sign of illness, in fact, is when someone really doesn't have any hunger at all. There is a hunger inside of us to find things in our lives and in our world that will somehow satisfy us. We have cravings inside of us, and not just for food, but for stuff, for things or something in my life, or a person, or a relationship, or a feeling, or something. We're craving things. There is a constant kind of emptiness that we're trying to fill, and we reach out in different places and ways to try to fill that. And the problem is that we are tempted to often go to the wrong things and to the things that aren't very lasting to try to fill up this thirst and this hunger inside of us. But we're very tempted to think, if I just get that next thing in my life's going to be better. If I just get that. And don't you find this to be true for yourself in a lot of ways? You can even see it with like your house or your car or things like that. If I just get this one more thing, then everything's going to be better. And then something else breaks down. Or if I could just have that in my life, if this could just happen for my marriage, then everything would be better. And then something else breaks down. There are just so many places where we try to fill this craving inside of ourselves, this longing to have things be better and to be right, but it just never seems to get completely fully satisfied. And just like somebody who is very, very thirsty and wants to quench this deep thirst that they have, could go running out into the ocean and take a cup and start drinking salt water, it might initially seem to taste good, but it ultimately will dehydrate you because of the salt and ultimately make you even more sick. And that's how it is with the things of this world. When we go and try to get them, whatever it might be, to quench this craving and thirst inside of us to be filled up, when we try to fill it up with the things of this world and life, it tastes good for a while. It works, but it doesn't last. It ultimately leaves us thirsty and hungry. God challenges us today in this text to really face this reality about ourselves and to recognize this hunger that's inside of us and to really see what our true condition is in life, our actual spiritual condition is, and the needs that we have. Listen to what he says again. Why do you spend money on what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Now, what he means is this. Why are you spending your time and energy chasing things in this life and world that really aren't going to fill you up? They're going to taste good for a while, but they're not going to last. It's not going to give you that everlasting fulfillment that you really wish that you had. It's not going to fill that deepest craving inside of you. And if you don't think that you have hunger and thirst now, well, certainly the grave will provide that for each one of us. It was roughly 5 years ago already, it's just amazing, that Michael Jackson died. Michael Jackson was about my exact same age. And 5 years ago that he died, they were afraid that people might turn his tomb into a kind of a monument. And there would be so much publicity around it that they decided to bury him in an unmarked grave in Los Angeles. They didn't even know what cemetery. Imagine if you could go and dig up that man's body today. Think of all the money and the fame and the wealth and the riches and the honor and the name that he had. Just think what you'd find in that box today. If you don't think you're hungry and thirsty, you need to look ahead in your life like I do too, at the box that's waiting for us, and to realize how this world will just leave us absolutely empty. So in our text today, God is inviting us to a heavenly banquet, a heavenly feast that he has prepared for us. And the wonderful thing about it is it's absolutely free of charge. There's no cost to it. Oh, it's expensive. Don't get me wrong. It cost a lot. It cost the death of his son. It cost his own son having to suffer hell for us. It's been purchased for each one of us with a very costly price, not gold or silver, but the holy precious blood of the Son of God and his innocent suffering and death so that you could come to this beautiful banquet in heaven. Every other religion in the world that tries to offer us a feast tells you to bring your wallet to the table. Tells you have to do something to help purchase it. You have to somehow do something for God to acquire this. There are even people that take Christianity and twist it into thinking that way, that somehow you have to do something. If you're going to ever get to heaven, you have to do something. That's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible says, leave your wallet at home spiritually. There's nothing that you can bring. There's nothing to do. Just come and eat. Just sit down at the feast. God has taken care of every part of it for you, purchased with the blood of his own son. That's why the great hymn writer who wrote the hymn Rock of Ages, Augustus Toplady, said, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. God today, through my sinful mouth, openly invites you. In fact, he urges you, he compels you to come to this feast that he has laid out for you. It's absolutely free. It's all been taken care of through the work of his son. At this feast, you have complete forgiveness of every sin you've ever done, even the one that troubles your conscience the most, the one that makes you worry the most about hell, the one that makes you worry the most about Judgment Day. Even that one has been paid for with the blood of Christ. The holy record that you need to be led into heaven on Judgment Day is in this feast. The entrance fee for you to walk through the gates of heaven, the beautiful home and the mansions above waiting for you, the mercy and the love of God, all of that is in this feast of the gospel. And it's free. It's absolutely free. Just believe it. Years ago, there was a psychologist that wanted to conduct a survey on human nature. And he took a big stack of $20 bills, thousands of dollars, I guess, and went down onto the streets, I think it was in Miami. and he tried to sell them for a dollar a piece. And he stood out there for 4 hours one day, and I think he sold maybe one an hour. And he wrote an article about this, that it's just too good to be true for people. It was just too good to be true. That's how a lot of people feel about the gospel and about this invitation. Come on. Going to heaven is just that easy? It's just that free that God just says, have it? Jesus did it all for me? Come on. I remember working with a translator over in Ukraine when I was teaching vacation Bible school, and I was trying to get her to say this to the children. She wasn't from the church. They just hired her to translate. And she turned to me and she said, are you sure you want to say that? That just sounds ridiculous, that this is free. It's just a gift. It's just a present. Yes, that's what God consistently in his word says. It's free. Even if you don't have any money, he says, come, buy, and eat from this beautiful banquet that Christ has prepared for us. God takes this heaven purchased by Christ, and he says, it's just free. Come and eat. There are no demands. There's no deals. There's no bartering with God. There's nothing put on you and on your soul and your conscience for the future that you've got to do in order to have it. It's just done already. And God gives us that offer, he says in our text, through his word. Listen, he says, incline your ear to me and live. That's all it takes. Listen. Listen to my word. Hear the message about Christ and live. That's it. Now, there are many people that have heard this and will hear this and think, I'm going to put that off. Well, don't put it off too long. There have been many people who have been blessed to have heard this and know the gospel and have later shut their ears to it. God opens the door right now today to every one of us, if you can hear me. And he, because of what Christ has done, is inviting you to just come to the feast of going to heaven through faith in Christ. But don't trifle with that invitation. Don't think you got plenty of time to mess around with it, because he just might shut the door someday if you reject it now. So, come, buy and eat without money. Amen. Please join me in the collect that is on page 158. Page 158, collect number 85. The word collect means to gather together our prayers, to collect them. So collect number 85. Let us rise. And we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you that through your holy word, you have called us to your great supper. And we beseech you, enliven our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that we may not hear your word without fruit, but that we may prepare ourselves rightly for your kingdom, and not allow ourselves to be hindered by any worldly care. Through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.